You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
I'm Roger Sutton. According to the National Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about 21% of the U.S. adult population 18 and older are currently smokers. But researcher Jorge Delva says his survey shows smoking rates among blacks indicate that people who are unemployed or poor are a lot more likely to smoke.
Trends on smoking in the country shows a decline in smoking rates. However, unemployed individuals have consistently had higher smoking rates than those who are employed for a very long time, and this difference remains. What is disconcerting is that the significantly higher rate of cigarette use among low-income populations in general and among low-income African Americans in particular has been very persistent. There is some reason for some celebration. When I compared the change in percent of smokers between the years 2003 and 2000 using the publicly available data, I found that there had been a 6-7 percentage point decrease in the rate of smoking among unemployed African American men and women. But similar analysis indicated a slight increase in percent of smoking among employed African American men. Whether these trends will continue, it remains to be seen. According to the 2003 National Survey on Drug Use and Health, the latest publicly available data on smoking for the country, about 47% of unemployed African American men and 36% of unemployed African American women had smoked in the months prior to the survey. Just to have a base for comparison purposes, about 45% of unemployed non-Hispanic white men and 49.6% of women had smoked during the same period. So smoking rates among employed individuals are much lower than among the unemployed. What these data suggest is that employment status has a bigger impact on smoking rates than race. However, because the unemployment rate for the past 20 years among African Americans has been twice that of white Americans, the burden of disease falls disproportionately among low-income African Americans. We conducted a large community-based study of low-income African-American men and women who are caregivers of young children in the city of Detroit. This was done in 2003 and 2004, and we found that nearly 60% of men and 41% of women in our sample were current smokers. These rates are much higher than those found in national estimates. In conversations with the study participants, they would indicate that many people in their families and communities actually smoke. The substantially higher rates of smoking among low-income populations is a serious public health problem. It remains a serious one, and it will continue to be a serious public health problem. These data indicate that a very large number of Americans, particularly low-income African Americans, will develop health problems related to tobacco use. This means that the burden of disease already present among low-income populations is not only likely to remain high, but also likely to grow in magnitude. The burden of disease remains unacceptably high in this population.
All this after years of efforts to educate people about the health risks of smoking.
Certainly, the anti-tobacco movement has had a tremendously positive impact on preventing individuals from initiating smoking and helping people who smoke to quit smoking. The anti-tobacco campaigns have helped people understand better the health problems associated with cigarette use, and now more people disapprove of cigarette use than before. Smoking has become a less acceptable normative behavior. In addition, we have nowadays more technologies to help people quit, for example, the use of nicotine patches and opportunities there. We have quit lines nowadays. So these are the good things that have happened in terms of contributing to a decrease in cigarette use in the general population. However, despite the progress made at preventing and reducing smoking in the population, the anti-tobacco campaigns have experienced serious cuts in funding, and actually several of them have been stopped altogether. Advertisements and product placements by the tobacco companies, they still continue, and these are particularly prevalent in the market that targets African Americans.
Delva says these circumstances call for a multifaceted approach to reducing the health threat to minority smokers.
Because the nature of the problem is complex, the solutions tend to be multifaceted and also complex. For example, the anti-tobacco movement needs to remain in place, and the trend to discontinue these programs needs to be reversed. I also think we need to continue to communicate to the population that tobacco use is a serious health problem. It's imperative that we continue challenging the marketing activities of the tobacco companies in communities of color. Another approach involves improving people's quality of life. The data that we have suggests that a greater percent of smokers is found among the unemployed, among the low-income populations. So it has been suggested that improving people's standards of living by making available jobs and better paid jobs could result in significant increases in health. This can happen because a good job, leads to greater access to adequate healthcare and to the adoption of more health-oriented preventative measures. Increasing the quality of life affords the people the opportunity to seek healthier activities to deal with stress. For example, people can join a gym, they can live in areas that have better access to physical spaces that encourage walking and jogging, and all of these activities are healthier alternatives to smoking when dealing with stress. Finally, I think that communities and community organizations need to continue to find ways to communicate to children and adults about the dangers of smoking. This is a message that cannot be stopped. Also, given that African Americans have high rates of religious involvement, and that prior research has shown that less smoking occurs among more religious individuals and among those who are more involved in church activities, I believe it is important to study how churches and temples can be more involved helping African Americans avoid smoking altogether and also determine whether this indeed results in decreased smoking rates.
Delva holds appointments in the UM School of Social Work, School of Public Health, and Institute for Social Research.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.